Your permission. Megillat Esther, we are at chapter 7. The story is after the first party that Esther made for Ahasuerus and Haman. They took Mordechai and put him on the horse. And now the messengers came to pick up Haman to come to the second part. On that party, Esther told Ahasuerus night before that she's going to reveal him the secret which nation she comes from. The last 5 years, Ahasuerus asked her, What's your name? She said, I don't know what my name is. Mordechai found me. I have no father, no mother. And the night before of this party, she told Ahasuerus, I'm going to tell you who I am. And here comes the Megillah and tells us the details of the second party. This is chapter 7, sentence 1, where Abu HaMelech HaMan is put in Mr. Malkah. They both come to drink. Not just to drink. Chaim says drinking is important. That's why it says to drink, but it means it's a party, a little party, eating and drinking, and they both arrived to the party. The second day, at the party of Ahasuerus, ask Esther, what should I do for you? But one thing I will not do, I will not build the Hamikdash. Still he doesn't know that she is a Jew. He has no clue that she is a Jew. But still he mentions he doesn't want Esther to ask about the Hamikdash. Very disturbing. The man doesn't even know she is a Jew. He doesn't even suspect she is a Jew. Otherwise he would have told her. The last 5 years constantly he keeps asking her, where are you from? I have no idea where I'm from. I have no idea. She comes and asks her, Ahasuerus, I want to ask you something. He said, listen, anything you wish, but not Bet Hamikdash. I said, but Bet Hamikdash, I'm Chinese. What Bet Hamikdash? Why are you talking about Hamikdash? It's not the first time. This is number 3 already. Third time, he tells her the same statement. Do anything you wish besides Bet Hamikdash. Again, Esther does not respond to that statement. But Ahasuerus keeps saying the same thing. Not only that, the Megillah doesn't say it. But the text that we have, Ahasuerus told her, listen, by the way, you know, Bet Hamikdash, I cannot let you do because I did promise to an Arab, Yimach Shemo, the 3 people from Eretz Israel sent a letter to Ahasuerus to stop the construction, and Ahasuerus did agree to stop the construction, and he tells her that. He tells her, listen, I cannot do it because I promised somebody, so I cannot do it. He says, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. What kind of a Mikdash? I'm going to church. Please, if you really like to do what I wish, my request is for my soul and my nation. In Imkanu and Ibrahim, myself and my nation, we were sold. Not exactly to be sold, but that's what she uses as this kind of statement. It says, we were sold to be destroyed. If we would have sold just to be slaves and maids, I would have kept quiet. This is not worth anything for you, that you're going to be killed. Not exactly right, because the Jews were very rich at the time. And of course, if they kill them, Haman wrote in his letters to everybody that the following year, on the 13th day of Adar, you should kill all the Jews, which Lelan Naboz, to take everything with their own. Which is not exactly what, the way she says it, but it means maybe what it means, the king will not have any pleasure from it. But again, she says that we were sold to be killed, but if we would have been, if we would have been sold just to be slaves and maids, I would not have bothered you. You would not have bothered. She says, can you imagine, Chas v'Shalom is a gezerah that all the Jewish people have to be slaves. All of us. So Esther is the queen. So Esther would not have gone to Ahasuerus and asked him to cancel the gezerah. That's what she says to Ahasuerus. I don't know, who asked her to say that? She doesn't say that. Nobody asked you. Ask her to go to come to Ahasuerus and plead with him and ask him to forgive, to waive the gezerah. She told him to come and say, listen, Ahasuerus, by the way, I'm asking you to waive it, of course, but I'm telling you now that if the gezerah, this lady, I didn't ask you, why are you saying it? Why are you saying it? Who asked you that? I says, why are you making it? Ahasuerus might say, okay, we're going to sell you to be slaves and maids. Why do you have to say that? And is it true? Is it true you wouldn't have come to Ahasuerus and ask him for forgiveness to waive this gezerah? Ahasuerus should come out with the gezerah that all of us have to be slaves? He says he wants to know who is this? The Midrash Rabbeinu tells us the following. Originally, when a man came to Ahasuerus and asked him to have a permission to destroy Am Yisrael, Ahasuerus answered, listen, I don't start with the Jewish people. It's the very strong and they have God. Leave me out of it. And Haman said, listen, let me tell you something. Used to be Judaism, used to keep the mitzvot, now Yashnuvina mitzvot, they don't do the mitzvot. They don't keep Shabbat, they don't keep other things, they don't want to do certain things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will never help them. Still, the Midrash says, the Ahasuerus told Haman, listen, I know what happened to Sanherib, I know what happened to Paro, leave me out of it. Haman kept pressing Ahasuerus, and then Ahasuerus said, you know what? If you want to do it, do it. Don't get me involved. Here's my ring, take my ring, write whatever you want, do. It's your responsibility, I'm out of it. That's the way the Midrash says, our discussion and is a text. The Midrash wrote exactly, Ruach HaKodesh, what Mordechai and Esther wrote, it's not in the Megillah, it's not important to write in the Megillah, but again we have the text, exactly how the discussion and the dialogue went between Haman and Ahasuerus. And here Esther comes and she tells Ahasuerus, this is in her words, that she and her nation were sold to be killed, and Ahasuerus, innocent person, says, who is this? What do you mean, who is it? What do you mean, who is it? Are you pretending you don't know who is it? It's just a few days ago. It's not a year ago, a few years ago, a few months ago. A few days ago, Haman spoke to you, and Haman made the gezerah, and now we're up only 3 days afterwards. This is four days ago, five days ago, six days ago, it's brand new thing. It's a brand new thing. So what do you mean you don't know who it is? What
did he claim that he didn't know where she came from?
No. Now she told him already.
No. Oh, she already said it before?
That's what she said. Kinimkanu ani ve'ami.
Yeah, but it could be somebody else.
Well, so Ahasuerus should have asked, which nation?
Right.
Obviously, he understood. Again, she said, ani ve'ami, Ahasuerus understood right away what it means. But still, he acts and he pretends he doesn't know. What do you mean you don't know? What do you mean you don't know? I heard that somebody had some kind of a psychological problem. He thought he's a banana. He goes to the psychiatrist and says, I think I'm a banana. The psychiatrist says, why do you think this is the way I stand, the color of my skin? So he goes to the psychiatrist and finally convinced him he's not a banana. He comes home, he tells his wife, I'm not a banana. Fine? So the kids came home and said, you know, we'll take you to the Bronx Zoo. Take the Bronx Zoo. She takes him to the monkeys. He sees the monkey, he starts running for his life. Help, help, help. He says, what's the problem? It's the monkey. This is the monkey. And the monkey loves banana. But he already was convinced he's not a banana. He said, yes, it's true, but the monkey doesn't know. So here the Ahasuerus is the same story. He is the one that is got with Haman everything, and he told Haman, leave me out of it, and he gave Haman the ring, and he told Haman, do what you wish, I'm not in the picture. And here, when she says, who is it? Who is it? What do you mean, who is it? It's a joke or something? She says, you discussed it with Haman the whole time. Hashem allowed the boy to get his heart holding to do it. But Tom is there, he's there, whatever man are there. No, the Midrash says, the Gemara says that the Esther wanted to point it at Ahasuerus. She said, it's you behind it. You see, you gave him the ring. But the Gemara says an angel came and pushed her hands away. It means she had in mind, when Ahasuerus asked, who is behind the whole thing? She said, you. So an angel came and pushed it away. I says, well, I don't understand why angel interferes right now. But angel did it. What would have been if the angel would not have done it? I mean, it's true. Well, Ahasuerus would have said no. I mean, today, you say, apology. It's not apology. I mean, you did it. You did it. You signed, you gave the ring to Haman, and you told Haman it's okay. So an angel came and pushed her hand away. And then she pushed away, she pointed at Haman and she said, this is Haman Arazeh, this is Haman. Haman did it. But again, behind the whole thing, he says, of course it's the Ahasuerus. He pretends he doesn't know nothing. So Haman, he got him to the Makkah. Haman got very scared, very afraid. He said, what's so afraid? So the vice president, okay, after the accident, the incident, the chapter before, that he already he dressed Mordechai and he went in front of Mordechai, so he's going to lose his job. So that's what it means. Right now it's even worse, because all of a sudden the lady, well, the first lady is blaming him that he wants to kill her. He's afraid. Yes, the explanation means that, you know, he started with the first lady. He knows that something might happen to him, especially after the incident the night before, the day before. Maybe that's the explanation. I mean, it's kamach ha-masur m'shter en gilem tabiton. So the Gemara says, the Midrash says that it's two versions. One version is that Ahasuerus, while this discussion is going, he looks through his window, and he sees some people, like 10 people, chopping trees in his backyard. They are good trees, and, you know, he's standing up with the axes and the chopping wood. So therefore, he gets up, that's why he's so upset. He's upset as well that the so-called Esther said that she's a Jew right now, and now Haman is the one to be blamed. It's not exactly right, because Haman did not know Esther as a Jew. If Haman would know Esther as a Jew, maybe he would take some precautions, maybe he would do this, he'll do something. It's not that Haman is not, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, Ahasuerus, the Gemara says, hated the Jews more than Haman. And the only problem here is Esther. Esther, you answer. He says, excuse me, Mr. King, let me tell you something. For the last 5 years, they looked all over the countries. They wanted to find out some clues, who is this lady. She claims she's a nobody. She claims she doesn't know who she is. And you and me together came out with the idea. You agreed with me, you told me you don't need part of it, but you agreed with me that I can destroy the Jewish nation. And again, the way the Gemara says, Ahasuerus does not like the Jews at all as well. And the Gemara says he hates them more than Haman. Haman has something, a personal thing with Mordechai, but as far as hating anti-Semitism, hating Jews, the Gemara says Ahasuerus is even worse. So what is the problem? There's no problem. He says, I'm a Jew, and somebody wants to kill me. Hey, madam, excuse me, one second. For the last 5 years, we met you. Ahasuerus asked you who you are. I said, I'm, they found me on the street. He didn't want to tell him. Now you pulled out your passport from your pocket. He said, you see, I'm a Jew. He says, now you're telling me. Listen, if I would have known that you're a Jew, maybe I wouldn't do anything to the Jews. But certainly not to you. Certainly not to you. The whole thing is a joke. I never meant to kill you because I never knew that you're a Jew. You didn't want to say that you're a Jew. So there is no problem. So what's the problem? You stand up and you should say that. says, excuse me, Miss America, Miss Lady, I'm sorry to tell you, the whole thing is a lie here. I didn't do anything wrong. Your husband, he's the one that gave me the ring. Your husband is the Jews. Your husband agreed with me that I can do what I wish. As far as you are concerned, we don't know if you're Jewish. What do you want from us? So the king is very upset, and he runs outside, he wants to see what's going on. Who are those people that, you know, those gardeners, they're chopping good trees in his backyard? The man stands up, and he wants to ask from Esther. He says, don't ask Esther. You tell her in the face. He says, you're a liar. For the last 5 years, you cheated the country. You said wrong statements about you. Now you pulled out from your pocket that you say you're a Jew. And by the way, I'd never had in mind to kill you. If I was known that you're a Jew, I would never have done this to you. He says, well, what do you have to ask for your life? I said, what do you ask for life? You didn't do anything wrong. Nothing. It's innocent. It's completely innocent. The king is very upset at him. Again, according to the Midrash, the way the Midrash says, Achashverosh is not upset at Haman. It's not true. Achashverosh is upset about those gardeners in the backyard chopping trees. So far, Achashverosh is not upset. Again, one version is that Achashverosh is very upset. He wants to cool off. And he goes to the garden, and then he sees people chopping trees over there. But one opinion in the Midrash didn't start like this. That while Haman and Esther talking, when Esther is talking, then he sees through the window what's going on in his backyard, the people chopping wood over, chopping trees over there. So Haman sees that his life is in danger. He has to ask for forgiveness. So the Gemara says that Achashverosh came down there to the backyard. They asked the people, who are you? So they look like Haman's children. And he says, what are you doing here? And he says, well, Haman told us to cut trees over there. The whole thing is a lie. Haman never told them. And it's not real people. It's angels. Angels got dressed up, and angels can dress up to anything. Angels got dressed up, and they look like Haman's children. And they're cutting trees over there. And Achashverosh asked them, who gave you this, it's the middle of the night, it's a party. He says, what's going on? He says, Haman told us to. It's not true. He says, well, how come an angel interferes here? They're cutting wood over there. What's the cutting business? What are they cutting trees right now? In the middle of the night, they're cutting trees. I says, what's behind it? That moment, Achashverosh is getting more angry. He's losing his temper. And now he runs inside, not only he didn't cool off, he runs back inside, because he wants to know he wants to ask Aslan, how come you said to chop the trees? Instead, Amanda Fernandez, not only that he doesn't have time to ask Haman anything, it is Haman is falling on the bed that Esther sits on it. The Gemara says, when is Haman falling on the bed? And the Gemara, no, an angel came and pushed him. The Haman was standing and pleading with Esther, please, I want to have a for complete forgiveness, make a deal with the general, what do you call it, attorney general. He says he wants to make a plea, you know, plea bargain, complete bargain, no? Yeah. I wants to do it, you know, it's almost the same story. So, it's in the news today, you know. So, it's the same news in the time of Haman. So before, but he's innocent, he really is innocent, Haman is innocent. I mean, he was standing nicely and he's pleading with us and please give me forgiveness, I didn't know him. So an angel comes and gives him a push from his back. And he falls on the bed at Esther. I said, it's not fair. What kind of a game is this? For what? Why is doing it? Why an angel is pushing it? And Amalek was so upset about the trees, about what Esther said. He says, I got a question from my body. This is not only that. You're going to capture the queen in my house? The whole thing is a lie. I mean, you really think, you know, that Haman is falling on top of Esther now. I mean, the whole thing is wrong. I mean, you can say, you know, that Haman went with Esther to hotel. But you can't say that while they're having this kind of an argument, that Esther blames Haman for things, and Achashverosh is furious, and he goes outside for 1 second, and all of a sudden Haman is on the bed. Doesn't make sense. I mean, there has to be some kind, you know, of common sense, some kind of things that might happen, you know, but you can't, you know, all of a sudden somebody, an angel comes, pushes you, and you're completely innocent, and angel pushed me. He says, there's a pen angels cutting trees in the backyard. This has nothing to do with Haman. It's not the fair game. And again, Haman is right. I mean, in this particular case, Haman did not do anything wrong. When the king said it, that you want to capture the queen of Ne'amal Hafu, Haman's face were down. He became pale. Emech Ha'amunah, Echad Min HaSaretim, says the Gemara, this is not again one of the servants, it's Elion Navi all of a sudden. So again an angel. Again an angel is coming. So Elion Navi got dressed up like one of the people. And this is, the Gemara says it's a common thing in our lifetime. The Gemara says, Yerushalmi, the Gemara says, it's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the one who wrote the Mishnah, 17 years he had big ache in his teeth. That's something tremendous. The Gemara says since he had this kind of an ache, no lady had any ache when she gave birth. So called the ache of the whole world, can you imagine how much ache he had? I don't know if they had good dentists in those days, but anyway, they could not fix it. 17 years, they couldn't fix it. The Gemara says why he had it. So one day, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said the lecture. He said the lecture, Rabbi Chiya, one of his students, was sitting over there, and he thought he had garlic and smelled like garlic in the lecture, and he insulted him something and he went outside. Then the next day, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi walks on the street, he meets this guy, Rabbi Chiya. He meets this guy, Rabbi Chiya, ask him, no, how do you feel? I apologize, you know, that I said something to you. So Rabbi Chiya went to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and patted him on his beard, on his face. He said, okay, no, I forgive you, everything was okay. At that moment, the ache left. The next morning, Rabbi Chiya goes to the lecture of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and he asked him, how are you doing? Because, you know, he was sick, I mean, it was big. Toothaches. I mean, it wasn't a regular thing. It was a big punishment for him for something that he said. So he tells him, listen, he won't believe it. Remember yesterday I met you on the street? I met you yesterday on the street and I apologized for you. And you put your hand on my face. When you touched my face, the thing disappeared. So they came out from that day on. No more eggs, no more toothaches. So Rabbi Chiya said, I put my hand on you? I'm a student. He says, the Gemara, it wasn't him. It was Eliyahu HaNavi, dressed up like a priest. Says the Gemara, says, Ari, you know, you meet a guy on the street, you go on vacation, says, hello, oh, how are you doing? My neighbor, in Egomut. Not him. You go to Israel, you see him at the court, and Shalom Aleichem, ah, how's he doing? Hi. I know, you're from Tunis. Yeah, it's not Tunis. It's Eliyahu HaNavi. I said, Dari, that's what it says over here. That's the first time. It's not the first time, but one of the times. Remember, Chavonah, sentence 9, Chamina Sarasim, is Chavonah is one of the servants of the king. He's speaking. He says, who is this guy? He says, it's not a guy. Eliyahu Navi. Again, an angel comes now. He's dressed up like Chavonah. This is one of the servants. And he's standing in front of Achashverosh. So he dives from Shamayim. He went through the window. And he's standing in front of Achashverosh. He's dressed up. He looks like one of the servants. Also very strange. By the way, he says, no, Achashverosh, I want to tell you something, that there's a tree that Haman made special to hang Mordechai on it. It's 100 feet tall, high. He says, it's over there. This is, he wanted to kill Mordechai, that Mordechai said, you remember? So it means he is an enemy of your friend. Yomir HaMelech lo alav. So the king said, go right away, hang him. It's very strange. Hang him. What do you want from the guy? Nothing. It's a clear record. He didn't do anything wrong. Nothing. But he wanted to kill Mordechai. It's true. By the way, Mordechai deserves that. And let me explain to you, Mr. Your Honor. You see, you commanded everybody to bow down on the street. That's what the Megillah says. Every time I pass this guy Mordechai, he doesn't bow down to me. So,
if somebody does not listen to the command, to the order of the king, he deserves that. That's very simple. If the king commanded it, if this is a law in Iran, in Paris, that everybody must bow down to Haman, Mordechai, from all the country, he's the only one that doesn't, he makes fun of me, here I came, I didn't hang Mordechai on it, I prepared a tree, and Your Honor, I came to ask you permission to hang this guy that does not obey your command. It doesn't do with me, I didn't say nothing, you commanded it. So what is this guy saying? He says, listen, Haman made a tree to hang Mordechai that spoke very highly and saved the king. Fine, it is true, he saved the king. On the other hand, he doesn't pay taxes. Money laundering. So what if you have, in Eretz Israel, when I was young in Eretz Israel, Ben Gurion Zchutei Hagena was the prime minister. He had a best friend, his name was Dr. Bell. He was a smart man, and he's the best friend of Ben Gurion. So Ben Gurion used to discuss with him everything. One day, they revealed that this guy is a spy for Russia. Not more, not less. And Israel had to change all the positions in all the camps, the airplanes, the tanks, everything, because Russia knew everything about Israel. His friend. Who was his friend? So, Mordechai's friend of Ahasuerus. Very nice. Okay. So one time somebody wanted to poison Ahasuerus, Mordechai is Ahasuerus, it is true. Okay, fine. On the other hand, Ahasuerus commanded anybody should bow down to Haman. He doesn't. So Haman is right. So what if the king's friend, so what? He doesn't pay taxes? So what? So it's true. He's a friend of Ben Gurion, but he was fine. They put him in jail in his eye. Cost Israel billions of dollars to change the whole army. So this guy is Chavona, again he's not Chavona, he's Eliyahu Navi. He says, he tells Ahasuerus, he's saying there's a tree that Haman made. So what? So ask Haman, what is this all about? And Haman will answer you. Listen, I did not do anything wrong. I prepared the tree and I came to ask your permission. You know, even though that I'm the Prime Minister of Iran and I have the right to do anything, I know that you owe a favor to Mordechai. As I respect that came down, I could have arrested him. I could have put him in jail forever. I didn't do it. The opposite. But now that he makes fun of me in front of everybody, I came, Your Honor, to ask permission to hang Mordechai. Nothing is wrong with that. Nothing. So the king said, Peru, I love. He says, go hang him. I'll go hang him for what? Hang me for what? What did I do wrong? By the way, the Midrash says, through Allah, the Ahasuerus goes and he calls Mordechai and says, you go take Haman, you hang him. Of course, the explanation means, it means that, you know, Haman wanted to hang Mordechai, now Mordechai is so-called takes revenge, he's going to hang him. Mordechai is a rabbi, Mordechai is a Rosh Yeshiva, you know. He's not the executor. He doesn't have to execute. Haman is not going to execute Ahman. He's the same as a rabbi, the Rosh Hashanah. So thank you very much, Ahasuerus. I'm not in the business. I mean, you were on a call Gambino. You know, they're in this business. Put cement boots on you, that's where from Washington Bridge. This is not a rabbi. What do you want from him? So Gemara says, so Mordechai to go, and Mordechai actually hung him. Mordechai had to, what did Mordechai say? Thank him. It blew it, Haman had to shake him to Mordechai. Hang Haman on the same tree that he... I mean, what difference does it make? You have to hang him over there. Who said you have to hang him over there? You don't have to hang him over there. Hang him any place, in Akko. What difference does it make where? They have to hang him on the same tree. What is this? It's a special luck for this. I mean, if you would have hung him on a different tree, it wouldn't be good. Say, no, if you want to hang him, you know, in the middle of Manhattan. Not in the backyard of Haman. It's to be on the same tree. I'm glad to say that. Hamat Amela Shachacha, all of a sudden the king so-called cooled down. He couldn't cool himself down. Not only he couldn't cool himself down, Gemara says, since he was angry at Vashti, at chapter 1, that Vashti did not listen to him, did not appear in public, the way he wanted her to appear, it is still so-called something inside himself, this, that we call hot temper. He has it inside him. He's not cool off, he's controlling himself, but he's still boiling. This is already 5-6 years afterwards. No, 9 years already, I'm sorry. 9 years after. 9 years still have this, what we call, fuse. What do you call it?
Rage.
No, this, you know, somebody says they have a hot temper, they say that there's a short fuse, no?
Yeah.
Right. So now, Ahasuerus, he comes down. When you come down, can you imagine, who knows Haman was? He's his enemy. He doesn't make you enemy. But he had a bad dream, the Gemara tell you, the bad dream, he thought Haman wants to kill him. And then maybe he wanted to wear his clothing. Again, this is nothing. This is nothing. Remember when he used to be your friend, and your best friend, and he ran the country for you, he's the richest person in the world. Nothing is wrong. He doesn't have any sin on his record. Nothing. And since now the king already for the last 9 years is upset, and he has inside himself some kind of anger that he cannot go out, and he says, now, come into the tree, boom. Baruch Hashem, he came from Florida, he's all calmed down, says, what? He's not your enemy, he's nothing against you, because the whole thing is a mistake. I mean, a few days ago, he was your best friend. You get in your ring. I said, you told him, do what you wish. So all of a sudden, now he's on the tree. He's on the tree by mistake, but not only that, it's a king, Baruch Hashem, now finally, he calms down, but doesn't make sense at all. I just want to have, with your permission, if you skip chapter 8, sentence 16.
When who was it, Rabbi Yehuda who had the toothache?
No, it was Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had the toothache.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Chiya is
student. You said that during that time women didn't have childbirth then.
Right. Because I didn't say that. The Gemara said.
So when he when it went away, did they started having it?
Yeah. Well, he says from this you can see there's a concept of Isurim on the world that people have to share it. But if one person has a lot, so there is some kind of discount for other people. Since Rabbi Danasi, of course, he was the chief, he was the president of Am Yisrael at the time, was still. The Gemara says that he took so much pain, load of pain on him, that it means he took the pain from the whole world. So the Yiddish, if you skip to chapter 8, sentence 16, says that Yudim et Aravis Mohammed Hassan Mikar, it comes to Gemara and explain that sentence, the Jews had light. The Gemara says no, it means light. Light means Torah. The Simcha, happiness, the Gemara says, it means Yom Tov. Sason, the Gemara says, what do you mean Sason and Simcha? Usually, it's not the same. So we hear Sason, the Gemara says, called Brit Milah, Vikar, it means the Tfilin. Rashi says, the Gemara says, the Chachamim say, there's no information in the Gemara itself, there's no information that we have besides what Rashi says and other Chachamim, means that the Ahasuerus HaMelech Haman decided we should not learn Torah, we should not keep Yom Tov, we should not do Brit Milah, and we should not wear Tefillin. Again, this information is information that Rashi says, must be true of course, but again, it doesn't say this information in the Megillah, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara. And then the Megillah would end, this is Mordechai and Esther wrote it, and to have this kind of a holiday of a Yom Tov, this is Purim, is a very, very special, very special. Very special that not only that, that the Gemara comes with a statement So the end of the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim alayhim v'azaham, says the Gemara, that's really what this happened is the Jews all of a sudden accepted, Midrash says, called Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is they believed in everything what Chachamim said. It's something that before they did not believe. Very strange, but again, simple explanation is, since they saw Haman, since they saw the Gezerah, and they were from the Gezerah, they said, okay, you know what? Because Mordechai said that from the Gezerah, and we see everything is because of this Rabbi Mordechai, so therefore, you know what, we're going to accept Torah. It's not to do that, not to accept Torah. And they're really accepting Torah. So you can say, you know, I believe in Hashem. But not, said, I have to accept not Torah. I mean, it's voluntary, it's a nice thing to say. That I didn't want to accept it. The Gemara says, with the Rambam, says the Ten Commandments to us. He said, now seven Ishmael meant to be only the things written in the Torah. But now it's called Torah, Shemapeh, what Chachamim are going to tell us later. I mean, if you believe Shulchan Aruch, like what you said, I don't believe this is, you know, it's not my cup of tea. It's not my alley. It's not mine. It's much not mine, and I don't believe in this. No, I believe in the Torah. I read the Torah. It's enough. It's enough. Here comes the Gemara and says, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim alayhim v'azaham. It says the Jews did accept Torah Shebaalpeh, and they said, we believe not only in Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, believe in everything that Moshe taught us, including also the Torah Shebaalpeh, all the things that were not written before. So yeah, we have to know what it means exactly. And then, of course, Purim comes, and Purim is a very special holiday. As Chachamim say, it's like Yom Kippur in a way. In a way, it's like Yom Kippur. Why it's like Yom Kippur? Not only that, Chachamim say even worse than that. That Yom Kippur is like Purim. Yom Kippur is like Purim. Which way is like Purim? Well, in a way, it's bigger than Purim. Purim is much bigger than Yom Kippur, and stays bigger. That's the Gemara Yerushalmi, that's the Rambam writes in his commentary. In his book, Yalla Chazashah, it says the Mashiach will come, the only holiday we'll have is Purim. All the other holidays that we have are going to be canceled. Not Pesach, not Sukkot, not Shavuot, not Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur, not everything. That's the way the Gemara says. And this is the Rambam writes in the Halachot, that says this is the last Halacha in his book. That talks about Purim, that says you should know when Mashiach will come, all the holidays are going to be cancelled besides Purim. He says, what's the significance about Purim? We will save from Haman. Haman is not the first one that we will save, and it's not the last one. As constantly the Jews had problems. Behold, the Adam, the Yom Chalotenu. It's not the first time to say Nagrash Pesach. In every generation you have a little Haman. Sometimes a bigger Haman, a smaller Haman. As constantly through the generations, we had difficulties to exist, and Hashem helped us big time. For example, some Sharif, Paro, again, there's no such a celebration that we find the day that some Sharif was, his army were vanished, killed, hundreds of thousands of soldiers found dead in the morning. And you read Sefer Melachim, Aram, others, the Plishtim, constantly Am Israel had some kind of threat, and at the end Hashem helped. Sooner or later, we're still here. This is no holiday for this. Again, it's not the first one. Huh? Again, Hitler also wanted to kill all the Jews. So Baruch Hashem, he did kill 6 million people, yeah, but let's assume he would not have killed anyone. So we would make a party, and we would say it from Hitler. And it's not the first one. There's time now, hopefully it was the last one. I mean, the next one I think is, maybe I shouldn't say his name on the tape, it's going to be on the internet. So the holiday, what's the big holiday? I don't understand. What's that? So we had the Gezerah, Baruch Hashem, and people cancel it. It's a very nice thing. So you want to make a celebration. But to make it as a holiday, as we call it, a legal holiday, but not a legal holiday, that's the only one you're going to have when Mashiach will come. There is no holiday. Nothing. Only Purim. That's the Gemara Yerushalmi, and the Rambam quotes it in his book. Expect all the holidays to be canceled. No holidays. Mashiach will come. It's not going to happen the first day Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes first. Life is regular, usual. So it's the accomplishment of the Mashiach, that's going to be the accomplishment. No holidays. But Purim, Purim for one, what's Purim? That's nothing. Again, I don't see any significant reason to celebrate Purim at all. for years and years and years. Now that's Purim also, it's a very, very strange holiday, in a way. The way the Megillah says, that the Gezerah of Haman was that the following year, on the 13th day of Adar, this is next Thursday, any place in the world that have Jews, you have the right to go and grab them and kill them and take away the fortune. So on that day, now we are at Pesach, when the Gezerah was finished and Haman was hung. It was Pesach. Still, they waited to see what can be the following year on the 13th day of Adar. On that day, the Hashirosh, so-called, told Mordechai, gives him a permission that to go and look for the bad people in the places that they had in mind to kill the Jews. And you can take revenge. And the Megillah says it was happened. The following year, on Yom Kippur, that says, Man Kila Lakor, says the Gemara, that says all the Jews, the way it says the Megillah, they came and they were looking to find, mainly was Amalekim, of course, because Amman is Amalek, and all the people that really hated us so much in the regime of Ahasuerus were Amalekim, and now we have the right to destroy them, and they're just running around. They're running around on the day that we were supposed to be killed, and they killed some, not everybody, but some of them. Then on the same day, I don't know how they got the information. Maybe they had a fax machine those days, I don't know. And it's 127 states we're talking about. This is not about Kush. It means it's a fairly very big place in the Hashverosh rule. But anyway, on the next day, the end of the day, Hashverosh asked Esther, no, any information, what's going on? So Esther said, you know what? True. Everything was fine. We were able to capture and kill our enemies and kill them. But, Your Honor, I would like to ask you for an extension for one more day in Shushan, in the capital, because some of those people that we're looking for, they're still hiding, and we would like to have another extra day to look for them. Hashem said, okay. So in Shushan, it's not only one day of execution, two days of execution. This is the 13th of Adar and the 14th of Adar. So the king, Hashverosh, gave a special permit to Esther. In the rest of the regime, 127, 6 days, you weren't allowed to do anything. I mean, it's over, it's fine. It's finished. They said, you can't do anything. Whatever you killed, you killed. In Shushan, I'll be lying in the capital. Esther asked Hashverosh for another day. I said, okay, another day. And they did. If they caught everything, but probably not, but whatever they caught, fine. Came the Chachamim and said, since this thing happened, so this holiday is flipped. Well, the holiday we're going to celebrate, not on the day that we fought, we have to celebrate on the day that we rested. So all 127 days, they rested on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar, because they fought on one day, on the 13th. Therefore, we should celebrate Purim on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar, and that's when we do celebration. For Purim is on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar. In Shushan, since they fought an extra day with the priest of Ahasuerus, they rested on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar. Therefore, the holiday of Purim, Yerushalayim, Tveria, Akko, Yafo, Yericho, it says those cities that had wars at the time that Yeshua ben Nun left the Halakha, when Yeshua came into Sadat Israel, it is like in Shushan. Shushan had a war, so therefore celebration is a different day. It means like this, next week, Bezrat Hashem, if you go to Sadat Israel and you celebrate Purim in Tel Aviv, in Bnei Brak, in Haifa, Erkeliya, all the Be'er Sheva, celebration is going to take place on Friday. The people in Yerushalayim, Tveria, Akko, Yafo, the celebration is Shabbat, that's nothing. Shabbat, you can celebrate Shabbat, Purim Mishulash, it's Friday, Shabbat and Sunday. The Purim is not just Friday. Not. You can read the Megillah on Friday, but it's not the real Purim. The real Purim is every year is extra day, one day later. Since part of Am Yisrael celebrate Purim on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar, part of Am Yisrael, that they live in this, or they stay, they come to visit Yerushalayim, a city that had a wall around her, as the celebration Purim is on the 15th. It means you have a special date for your holiday. It's very strange. Can you imagine one family, in Pesach, they eat Matzah, and next door, they eat Chametz. I said, well, Pesach is for him, and for me. You know, I don't know. Where is such a thing? July 4th is with my neighbor. My July 4th is tomorrow. No such thing. No, it's a holiday, it's a holiday. Well, listen, you want to make a holiday for the day that everybody rested? Okay, fine. Everybody should celebrate Purim on the 15th. This is why? Because at that moment, everything was quiet. Until then, you still had Kassam cars in Shderot. I says, okay, now, quiet, peace. Okay, now the celebration from now on, Purim is on the 15th of Chodesh Adar. He says, no. You celebrate it on the 14th, they celebrate it on the 15th. So where's such a thing? No such thing. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You will call a legal holiday. Part of Am Yisrael depends. If you leave or you stay, you can visit and you stay in the city that has walls, it says for you is tomorrow. He says, well, I live in Tel Aviv. I came over here tonight. I'd like to stay, you know, my children here, my parents here, you know, I'm staying here in the hotel. He says, sir, it's not Purim for you. He says, listen, it says in my certificate, I live in Bnei Brak, I live in Tel Aviv. He says, listen, you're here today. What do you have to do with where I am? Listen, I said, you know where I am? I'm not here, I'm from America. He says, what are you doing? He says, I came to the Plaza Hotel in Yerushalayim. He says, my family, everybody celebrates Purim on the 14th day. He says, no, you stay on the 15th. So, on the 15th? Unheard such a thing, that a holiday, a chag is going to be split among the people because he is here and he is there, and because a few thousand years ago happened to be that part of Am Yisrael, both are part, which is part, not part. As long as it was not a complete victory, what you call a ceasefire, I mean, the war is not over, but then it is. Okay, Tel Aviv is already quiet, but in Yerushalayim, the Arabs are still fighting. It's okay, so Tel Aviv, you celebrate today. They're going to celebrate the next day. Doesn't make sense. And this Shabbat is called Parashat Zachor. And we take another Torah out, and we're going to read this paragraph in Parashat Ketetzeh, Sefer Dvarim, Zachot Asher Sarach Amalek, and the rest of Mitzrayim. You have to remember what Amalek did to you. You have to remember. What did he do? Asher Kach Abadir, Amalek arrived, he came out of Mitzrayim, and he fought with us. By the way, the Gemara says that Amalek did not arrive. Amalek was waiting. He will come out of Egypt. And the reason for that, says the Gemara, that he has some kind of a back complaint against Am Yisrael, since Yaakov took the brachot not in legitimate way. He got dressed up like Esav, and he went to Yitzchak, and he got the blessing. So therefore, Esav told his son Eliphaz, and Eliphaz told Amalek, and says, listen, don't worry about it. We know they're going to go to Egypt, and they're going to come out. You have the right to go and attack them. And the Gemara says, not only that, the Gemara says that Amalek, before you went to attack Am Yisrael, you went to Bilam and asked Bilam, no, what do you think? He said, listen, you're the only one that you can overcome this nation because you're as well as them and grandchild of Abraham Avinu. Of course, Amalek is the grandson of Esav. Esav was the grandson of Abraham. He says, you understand, nevertheless, go kill them, destroy them. You have a legitimate complaint. Yaakov stole the blessings. Not only the Jesus complained, comes to Gemara, it says it is legitimate. In a way, says the Zohar says, that Yaakov should not have done it in the way he did it, and since he did it, in every war that Am Yisrael have with the enemies, constantly you have Amalek. In Amalek, it says you have children of Esav, grandchildren of Esav, that they want, so-called, to demand back the blessings that we stole from the grandfather Esav. And the Zohar says they have a legitimate complaint. So again, Amalek is, I wouldn't say the word innocent, but he has a point, he has a point. He just didn't come out of nowhere and fighting with us. He comes, he wants to take revenge. He wants to take revenge of his grandfather, like we also, the Gemara says, we also take revenge of certain things that somebody did to our grandfather. For example, Midianim did to Yosef. He says, he has a point. Nevertheless, come the Kaddish Mechol, he says, listen, I want to tell you something, a special mitzvah, go destroy Amalek. What is Amalek? Why shall I destroy Amalek? The machloket among the Chachamim is today, if somebody would define somebody today that is Amalek. In America, you cannot kill him, of course. But, you know, you kill him what's called international water. You go, you know, you go on a boat, you know, what do you call gambling something in the middle of the ocean. Over there, you'll have to do everything. It's a free country. The newspaper will not write about you. You be sure everything is okay. So the question is, if you know, let's say you know, for example, Hitler is Amalek, you go and you meet Hitler, you know, he's playing, he's gambling and you want to kill him. You have a mitzvah to kill him now or no? The way the Rambam says, the way the halacha is, the way it sounds in the Torah, he says, you know, only when Mashiach will come, you have to do this job. It's no mitzvah today to go and catch somebody, say, Amalek, and it's in my pocket, Amalek. And oh, Amalek, here, say we do, 1, 2, 3, finish it. I speak Kaddish for you. It doesn't go this way. Our mom says only when Mashiach.
Isn't it a mitzvah in the Torah?
Huh?
It's a mitzvah in the Torah?
It's a mitzvah in the Torah to do when? To remember Amalek, it's mitzvah to destroy Amalek, it's only when Mashiach will come. The Torah says clearly, and Hashem is going to let you rest from all your enemies. Where is going to be? Mashiach Mitzvah. This happened before this stuff, but we'll get to it maybe in a minute. So again, the machloket among the chachamim, but that's the halacha. Even if you know today, again, I won't say the word halacha, but again, that's what the Rambam writes, and that's a lot of people picking it up, and they say that this is what it is. It says, when Mashiach will come, I said, why Mashiach will come? Hashem, if Hashem wants you to remember what Amalek did, and I know with Amalek, what did it make? Mashiach will come, not Mashiach will come. Today, fine. What's it do when Mashiach will come? If there's a mitzvah again to remember what Amalek did, and there's a mitzvah eventually to kill Amalek, why have to wait for Mashiach? Doesn't do with Mashiach. That's what they would do with the guy as an enemy. Kill him! There's no one who's going to kill him. Let him live. What do you mean let him live? He's the enemy. Not only that, the way the Torah says it, also it's a special mitzvah here. You have to say it with your mouth. It's not enough just to remember in my heart. It's the Gemara, Zachor Lo Tishkach. It says Lo Tishkach is in your heart, don't forget what Amalek did. Big deal, I mean. I have to remember what Amalek did. What's Amalek? Amalek was an enemy of Israel, and he came and he started to fight with them, so he came out of Israel. It is true the way the Gemara says he's the first nation started with us. I said, but it's not enough reason to remember. Who cares? I said, I care. The Spanish people, the English people, the Russians, the Germans, constantly, the Jews had constantly problems with nations that want just to kill the Jewish people, exile them, send them away like power. That doesn't say the Torah. Remember what power did for you, and you have to destroy power and his descendants when Mashiach will come. Remember what any other king or any other nation did to us. That's it. Again, first of all, he has a legitimate complaint. Secondly, it's not so important to remember. Why have to remember it? And comes the Gemara with another statement. The Gemara says it's in Parshat B'Shalach, that after the first fight with Amalek, Yeshua, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu tells Moshe, is Moshe writes in the Torah that he tells the Yeshua, Ki macho emche et zecher Amalek mitachat ha-shamayim, Ki yad al kestar, it says, and a kiseh shalem, a Kaddish Baruch Hu's chair is, it doesn't have the four legs, only two legs. This is Hashem's name is not full, And says Hashem then has only two letters, only Yud and Hey, the Vav and the Hey are missing. And says only because Amalek, Amalek, Amalek. Hashem said he is going to destroy Amalek. Hashem said, he told Moshe to tell Yoshua that I'm going to destroy. Comes the Gemara says, Hashem is going to destroy. You're going to destroy. Who is going to destroy? Hashem hates him. Hashem hates him. Hashem hates him. The Meshitta says, don't accept any convert from Amalek. And says, Hashem hates him. That Hashem takes care of it. Hashem can come, and Hashem can kill him. The way Hashem killed Sanherib, his army, Hashem can do to Amalek. It says, I have a special mitzvah to run after this. It's after all. Also, you're going to read the Shabbat special after all about Shaul HaMelech, when David sent him, says, Hashem said, go destroy Amalek. Again, he's the first entity that's called Mashiach. He doesn't do the job right. He doesn't do it. He leaves some people, he leaves some ladies, he leaves some children, he leaves some animals, sheep. Shmuel comes over to him and says, listen, Hashem revealed himself to me last night and said, you finished. You lost the kingdom. I said, I lost the kingdom? So why I lost the kingdom? Okay, I didn't kill him. Okay. Okay, it's not, it's, again, it's in a way, it's late for one thing, it's late, says the Gemara, and it's not a major thing, you know. I only did not kill Amalek. What do you mean I didn't kill? I left the ladies and the children and some sheep. Okay, Mechabot. You get one suicide bomber, stand next to them and they kill them. I got came from there. That's a mistake, okay? But you don't lose the kingdom for this, you know? Hashem had his way, you know? Hashem, he left Agag. So you kill Agag now. So why is it a bit late because Agag already is going to have a descendant? It doesn't matter. Hashem can do the job. It's not a major thing. It's not a big thing that you say, listen, this guy, Shaul, is worthless. And it says, Hashem said to Shmuel, I'm fed up with him. That's what did he do? He didn't kill. You kill it now. Okay. So, you, okay, big deal. So, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he doesn't understand why he has to kill the ladies and the innocent children and sheep. He says, better, you know, we take them, it should be our mates, our slaves, and the sheep I will sacrifice to Hashem. He says, this on the surface, it's not really enough reason to say the man is worthless, especially the way he is being described in the Tanakh, that he was the best of the best. There was nobody like him, Shaul. The Gemara says, Malchut she'en badofi. The Gemara says, when Shaul was killed, Hashem writes about him that he had no sins. Even though that sounds like a major sin, he's going to lose the kingdom, but as far as record is concerned, zero sins, zero. Better than David HaMelech, says the Gemara. Better. Malchut she'en badofi. This is the whole kingdom is pure. He was the most humble person in the world. Nechba el akili. Ben shana shomer malcho. The Gemara says, Shaul HaMelech is like a baby 1 year old. Never committed a sin. Never, ever. In Gan Eden, he's sitting next to Shmuel HaNavid. In Mim Chitzati. What do you want from the poor guy? He didn't kill Amalek, so kill it Amalek now. Okay, but still, so what do you want from this? What do you want from this? So lost the kingdom. That's after I'm going to be. To make long story short, Ari says the following. In a way, like the story that we said before about Eliyahu HaNavi that dressed up like Rabbi Chiya, sometimes a person carries so-called a bad angel inside himself. So of course, the first time we find him in the Torah is the snake, of course, that comes and talks to Chava Imenu and convinces her to eat from the tree. Of course, it's not the snake. The snake doesn't feel less. So of course, the bad angel is Satan went inside the snake. And he is the one that convinced, was able to tempt and convince Chava and did all the bad things. So really, what's going on really is not down here. Somebody that you have a fight with somebody, that you do certain things that you don't understand, certain things of why it's happening, it's not here. This over here is just, you know, it's called the hardware. The software is upstairs. And the software is running the whole thing. It says that there are a few times, and especially we started Amalek, the war with Amalek, and Torah tells you a story when Amalek came out of Egypt. So Moshe hired Yoshua, told him, you go dress some holy, sinless people to fight Amalek. And I'm going to be on top of the mountain with Aaron and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, are you worthy to pray? Says the Zohar, says Daniel the following. It says, you have to understand that the fight is not a cure of hair dancer. Here is just, you know, what you see on the stage. But behind the scene, it's fighting of angels. So when you have world war, for example, or you have any kind of difficulties, not necessarily the difficulty is what you see down here. It's not what you see down here. It has to come from upstairs. Upstairs, this is what's called behind the scenes, which is responsible. Of course, it's angels. There are angels over there. When Amalek arrives, says the Zohar, the following, that Amalek really carries inside himself the entity of the original snake that tempted Chava. That's his power. That's his power. Now, of course, if you remember, the Zohar said, and the Talmud says that when Esav was born, Esav had inside himself part of that entity. And Esav was born, and he had on his thigh a tattoo of a snake. That's how he was born originally, without that to go and make a tattoo. But see, Esav carried that so-called, the bad entity. Again, Esav is a person, and he comes and says good morning to you, and all of a sudden he takes a gun. I said, well, I don't understand you. I'm your friend. I don't understand. He says, the man is irresponsible for what he's going to do because it's not a complete so-called pure soul. In his soul, it is mixed some kind of energy, some kind of genes of so-called the original snake. Again, it's not the snake. This is Satan. And then you find some cruel people that you don't believe. And there's no heart. They said they can do some things that it's unbearable. How this man can do such a thing? I don't get it. They said, forget it. Ariel says, he's not a man. He says, of course, he has a body, of course, but the engine that runs him inside is sometimes it's called Amalek, it's called Erebrak, it's called the Satan. And this is really what's going in the Megillah over here. Just don't think for a second when you start reading the Megillah, it's Haman, it's Ahasuerus, it's nothing to do with it. It's Haman carries so-called a job that is so-called running him from Shamayim. The angel tells him, go here, go there, to go to Ahasuerus, ask to destroy the Jewish people. That is Satan himself. He is the one that brought the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so-called the parchment, something that's made from clay. It says, like, listen, the Jews don't behave. They didn't behave in terms of the Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't behave in the Tati Vachashverosh. It's time to get rid of them. That's his job. That's the same Satan as inside the snake attempted to Chavai Melo. And so then he goes and he goes to Haman's head and says, Mr. Haman, you go to Vachashverosh, you convince him. Tell him this. The whole discussion is going on in the Megillah. It's really, you have a person whose name is Haman, you have a person whose name is Ahasuerus, but it's not true. It's they're just a puppet. It's a puppet show. It's the whole thing is from Shammai. And it's true. It's the Gemara, that's what says the Medrash, says the Zohar, that this really what's going on. And every time that we have difficulties, it's not, you know, we have those Arabs sending missiles to Saddam, it's the order. It's upstairs, it's not downstairs. It's the Sarai. Ishmael has upstairs 35 angels next to Kisar Kavod constantly forget things about our Israel. We have to fight. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, says Dari, that's what the Torah emphasized. And says Yeshua, says you go fight downstairs. You cannot, you don't understand. Kasher Yahim Moshe Yadav, Vigdavar Israel. Moshe raised his hands, Moshe raised his hands, Am Yisrael was winning. Of course, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Masechta Hoshana, it means that Am Yisrael looks from downstairs and he saw Moshe's hands up, so they thought about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says, it's much higher than Sarai. What it means, it says, the Zohar, that Moshe called for help from angels upstairs. He has a very important friend in angels. His name is Matar, the Centurion Minister upstairs, and he told him, listen, the Satan is helping now Amalek to attack us downstairs. Can you take care of the Satan upstairs? Can you calm him down? Hold him back. And you hold him back, he will not supply energy. Since you're in a war. You're in a war because an angel upstairs helps you. It tells you, shoot the cannon here, shoot the missile here. He tells you, shoot a sniper. He said, put the bomb here, put a sniper there, let him go over there, go Yishrat Merkaz Rav in Yerushalayim. There's an innocent boy, they learn Torah now, and an Arab comes inside the yeshiva, kill innocent boys. Holy people. So it's not the Arab, you don't understand. The Arab gets so-called a message in his brain from the Satan to go do it. That's how it works. And if it works by this kind of thing, so still so-called, this is all over the same. Just for example, there is an angel upstairs, and I don't want to say his name, that he is responsible of forgetting. Motei Shabbat is a special segula to say certain things that this angel will not have influence and impact on a person. I forgot. You're a terrific memory. Terrific memory. So you don't forget anything. That thing you forgot. I don't believe it. Forgot. How can you forget it? You remember everything. Because you don't understand. There's a special angel. Makes you forget. So this is part of the group of the Satan. Makes you forget. I forgot to do Arvit. Never happened to me in my life, you know. I ate something, I forgot to say bracha. I don't want to say bracha. I drank, I forgot to say bracha. I drank something, I forgot, I drove. What do you mean you forgot? What do you mean you forgot? You forgot how much money you have in your pocket? What do you mean you forgot to say this? I forgot to put sticks in the morning. I forgot. I wear my kippah. I forgot it in the car. What do you mean you forgot in the car? I forgot it. You don't forget nothing. It's an angel makes you forget. On the surface. But that's what's going on here. I said, just for example, Hashemosh has asked, who is the guy that decided to destroy you? You're making it up now. You said it, you gave him the ring. An angel came to Esther, pushed the hand. It's not him, you don't understand. It's not him. No. He's innocent, Hashemosh. He doesn't remember. He really doesn't remember. Happy few days. He doesn't remember. He really doesn't remember because the Satan was behind it. And therefore you see all these angels coming here and helping so-called this camp to be finished. So the Leon Navi, the Harbona, and they get dressed up like they are human children. They said, angels, what do you mean angels? So the fight is upstairs, not downstairs. The idea of Purim, says Dalit, to make long story short, is that we won in a way upstairs. That's what it means. The Chai, יאיר בן שמי בן קיש איש ימיני קיש על שערי רחמים ונפתחו לו. מרדכי was able so called to get help from Shamayim. You can with Haman. You read the whole Megillah, it doesn't make sense at all. Nothing makes sense. It does make sense if you know what's going behind the scene. For example, Haman has a piece of wood that's 100 feet long. He wants to hang Mordechai. I says, where did you get this piece? The Yonavi said he got this piece from Beit HaMikdash. And he was in the army of the Nebuchadnezzar, and when he captured Yerushalayim, he went to Beit HaMikdash, and he took one piece from Kodesh HaKodeshim, was 100 feet long, he took it away, and he has it in his backyard. He wants to hang Mordechai on that tree. He's going to be hanged on that tree. Because Haman carries so-called the power, the energy of that original snake. And of course, the original snake touched Chava. Of course, the original snake did something bad to Chava. Therefore, an angel would come and push the giant up. Of course, this guy, his name is Haman, he is the one that convinced Chava to eat from the tree. So therefore, angels will come to the backyard of Ahasuerus, and he's going to look from the window, he's going to see people chopping trees in his backyard. Because you, Haman, you are the one. And this is why he's so scared, Haman. Because Haman feels that he's losing ground. He feels it, he feels something. He said, what do you feel? You're right 100%. He didn't know that as a Jew. He didn't know anything. I say, you're a legitimate thing. Everything is legitimate. Amalek is also legitimate. But you don't understand. Amalek is legitimate because we so-called, we took the brachot without the right for the brachot. It is true. But that entity, Amalek, Haman, all these people, they carry inside themselves some kind of energy. They get the messages from the Satan upstairs. Purim is a special holiday. It's a special holiday, but the Megillah is going to tell you that hang Haman, it means nothing. Big deal to hang Haman. Big deal they're going to hang Haman's children. Big deal they're going to fight the enemy. Happened in a lot of wars, so That's not a celebration. Celebration is they were able to overcome. The Satan was able to overcome and to cancel so-called the Gezerah, that this Haman is behind it. But again, this guy is not a person. Sometimes the group says, this name is not Haman. It says, Haman means that's the person. Well, that's the person. Which person you refer to? Refer to the Satan, so it's called Malach HaMavet, this is Yetzirah. That's the one. That's the one that has the power if you don't learn Torah. So when you study Torah, just like Marai, he has no power, but he exists. That's his Purim. Says Ari, that's what the Rambam is saying. Gemara was trying to say, Purim is set for others. I said, I tell you why. Because when the Gemara says, when Mashiach will come, Mashiach is going to slaughter the Satan. That's going to be the end of his job. It says, until Mashiach will come, he has a job. It says, you see, people come to attack you. It doesn't matter what they're called, Russians, French. What it doesn't matter who it is. It says, what's behind it? Like, what do you want from the Jewish people? What do you want from them? That says nothing. The same thing I wanted from Chava. The same thing I wanted all the time, all the two generations. It's the same entity. And his point was the time we were able to get rid of this entity. Not completely, because Haman had more children, and there are some of them we couldn't catch. But so-called, the main guy that carried this ammunition, this bomb, we were able to catch him. So what's the celebration? Suddenly we caught Haman. Haman, it means nothing. It's a toy. It is not the engine that Haman has. It's inside. It says, Mordechai, you are the one, they're going to hang him on the tree. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else can do it. Because you can't catch an angel. You can't catch an angel. You can't take so-called part of an angel and kill him. Yes, Am Yisrael together can do it. This happened when we came down to the second of HaMikdash. The Gemara says, Am Yisrael was standing behind and asking people, listen, get out this Satan out of the system. And then there's still something coming out of the HaMikdash. It was Satan and then the Satan. To come back, the Gemara says, but the idea is not, it's not a celebration of form. Salvation was saved so-called from this called the evil power that convinced Chava. We understood that to get rid of him so-called is only because Mordechai was teaching Torah while Haman was running around to catch it. Same thing like, you know, the snake who wanted to get rid of Adam HaRishon, and Haman wants to get rid of Mordechai. And the same way that the snake touched Chava and convinced Chava to do bad things, that's what Haman wants to do to him. And the celebration is not we were saved from Haman, we were saved from that angel. This is what the Rambam says, that angel you will be saved completely only when Mashiach will come. Therefore the Kaddish Baruch gave us this kind of mitzvah. It says, remember what Amalek, I said, remember Amalek, I don't remember Amalek. He doesn't understand, Amalek came, but Amalek did not come because it's Amalek. Amalek came because he has this power of the original snake, but the snake had the power. So therefore Kaddish Baruch showed it, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to win Amalek. It's not Yeshua, not on the surface, on, just on the field that you win the enemy. Moshe told Yeshua, listen, you're going to fight over here, but the real fight is upstairs. That's what the result is. Moshe had to call for help from the interior minister, that's the most important angel upstairs, to be on our side, to win it. This is what the Megillah says, that someone is scared to death. Because he feels inside that the time is over. The time is over because of Mordechai. And that's what the Gemara says. If he comes to Mordechai and says, you want to know something? The Torah that you did saved you. He says, well, Haman is a believer now. Haman believes in Torah. Says, no, Haman felt it. Haman felt that the power that he has is lack of Torah. I said, let's call Ayudim my Torah. And it's Torah, the Torah. This is what the Gemara says. It's not what it means. The Torah is that thing that helps us to win, but not downstairs, upstairs. Sasson is Yom Tov, Sari is Rudin Sasson, it's the Gemara says, when Avot Roshayim Rina, when you get rid of these wicked people, you should make it a holiday. So that's why we have Pesach, we have Sukkot. It says because we got rid of the entity of the bad people. It says Mina, it's Sasson, it says because Amalek was fighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and making fun of Brit Milah. The car is Tfilin, it says Amalek is being described as Lo Yareh Elokim, is not afraid of Hashem. It says Tfilin makes people to be afraid of the ones that carry the Tfilin on their head. So celebration again is not celebration for this matter. So that's a celebration, so let me tell you, there's two dates for the celebration. Most of the world will celebrate Purim on the 14th day. It says, that day is we rested. What did you rest from? Didn't rest because I killed few people, 75,000 people. The 75,000 people were Amalekim. Amalekim is not the paper. Amalekim is the ones that carry that gene, that this is the mitzvah Hashem wants us to remember, to get rid of this. This is what? We do get rid of what? Amalek? No, no, no. The engine that drives Amalek. This is the bad engine. That's what we were able to do. It says in Shushan and all the other cities that have wars from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, we celebrate Purim extra day. This is because the celebration is not celebration of victory in the war on the field. It's the victory that Baruch Hashem was saved from that engine. So it depends. That's what you want. Able to complete the job. That's the people that I want. Yes, my celebration is not the people. My celebration is when is the time that I finish with that angel. That says you have a different date. And therefore Purim says Yom Kippur is like Purim because Yom Kippur is the time. Zohar says that Satan has no power in Yom Kippur. The Satan says the Gemara that the Zohar has a power only so-called to tell a Kadosh Baruch Hu about us. It's only 364 days. The day number 365, the numerical value of the word Hasatan, it says you allow only 364 days to come and tell it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is one day of the year he cannot come. This is Yom Kippur. This is Yom Kippur is like Purim. That's what it means like Purim, because from Purim we got rid of this entity. And this is what the Megillah wants to tell us. It's a celebration. That Baruch Hashem, we're happy, is not the happiness because we were saved or we got rid of Haman. This is just we got rid of that angel that he drives so-called those entities. And that's the song that Shanat Yaakov, at the end of the reading Megillah, Shanat Yaakov, it says, this one is Abu, this one is that, this one is this, it's called Ivecha, it says, what? But just not civilized for people. For people is one thing, you want to get rid of enemies. But you have to get rid of the engine that drives the enemy. And for this, you have to have somebody like Mordechai. He can do the job. I said, this is what need an angel. You need the Yahu Navi involved, you need this Harmona, you need the other angels to come and help Mordechai to be saved, because it's not a war dancing between Mordechai and Haman. It's upstairs. And this is the first time, maybe the only time, that Am Yisrael reaches that thing. Timuri Kibroi Dima Lema Zaram said, okay, we have to learn Torah. So why have to learn Torah? It's not because Mordechai said to learn Torah. Because they understood to get rid of the tower upstairs that attacking us is only Torah. They said, the sword is no other way. He said, of course, we won. This is what you win. He said, you read the Megillah, it's nothing. All of a sudden, Mordechai is on the horse. He said, Haman said, yeah, because you learned Torah. He said, what does it mean? The Aman comes because of lack of Torah. That is the problem that we have in our lifetime, business and health and what we have in Eretz Israel now with all those enemies, with those animals, it's not downstairs, it's upstairs. We have to win upstairs to win downstairs as the Gemara says the Zohar. There's Purim, it's a special day, it's a Zari, that you can reach that level, that you can get rid of that entity that drives so-called your enemies against you. Therefore, it's Purim, it's a very special day. It's not just celebration, you know, I get rest and I get drunk and it. This is Parashat Zohar, it's the same thing. Shaul HaMelech was innocent, the holiest of the holiest. But you have a special mitzvah now. The mitzvah is not to go and kill Amalek. It's to show and to emphasize what you got to do. It says, you are called the Mashiach the first time in the Tanakh. It says the word Mashiach is about Shaul HaMelech. He says, he was Mashiach, Hashem David HaMelech, described him as Mashiach. He says, innocent, holy, everything perfect. He says, I give you a job. So your job is so-called to kill the original snake. He says, you kill Amalek. It's not the people. You don't understand. You thought Hashem wanted to kill ladies. Hashem wanted to kill babies. You don't understand all these things, all these animals, all these people that belong to Amalek, they carry the Satan. Of course, it's very nice, you know, the blonde, blue eyes, all of them. It's very nice. One is Hitler, one is Nachman, one is Mengele. This is all these people, you don't understand. It's not them. It's just that those people carry that engine. They carry that angel that he is the one that drives them to do these things. So you have to, it's not killing the people. When you're killing them, you go fight them. This is what you show as you want to get rid of the original dead angel. So that's how he's not doing. That's the kind of thing that you don't understand. Says, this Mashiach is the first king that I pointed, and I told him that the Gemara says that Mashiach, when he will come, he will destroy Amalek. it's a Mashiach to destroy Amalek. It's not to do with Mashiach. It's any time. It's Halacha and the Rambam. It's the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. It's Mashiach will destroy Amalek. It's Mashiach to destroy Amalek. It's we don't understand. It's the Gemara says. The Gemara says Mashiach will come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to slaughter the Yetzirah. He says, well, you have people over here. We need to slaughter here. Which Yetzirah you going to slaughter? It has no entity. It says there are people that have this angel, the bad angel inside them. They have to kill them. It's called Amalek. I said, only when Mashiach will come, he can do it. I said, Mashiach will come, he cannot do it. I said, that's the whole celebration of Purim, that we're able, so-called, to show that we don't want his entity. And this is again the Gemara says, when he came to Beit HaMikdash, the Mikdash was open, we told the Kadosh Baruch Hu openly, we don't want Yetzirah anymore, we don't want him anymore. Therefore, Purim is so important, it's made it the most important holiday. The Aril says, whatever you request on Purim night, and Purim during the day, Hashem fulfills it, as long as you know what Purim is all about.